Shalom. Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan along with our very excited teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my love. And yes, I am excited that the people of Iran finally have a good chance at experiencing freedom, like the Jews experienced in the days of Esther, coincidentally, during the same month of Adar, 2,500 years ago, now celebrated as a feast called Purim. When Iran's Jewish population, then called Persia, was also freed from annihilation, brought on by the wicked Haman, whose name is similar to Khomeini, for the K is silent. And we will briefly speak on this current war. And we had a pre-dawn blood moon today, which, by the way, fits into such a time as this. Let us bless the Lord.
Lord, we do bless you and thank you for giving us wisdom. We're giving wisdom to all our leaders to properly execute your divine plan. We continue to lift up to your throne all military involved to have ears to hear your Holy Spirit's guidance. And may your mighty angels give them all protection as we take authority over the Prince of Persia and its forces in the heavenly realm. We pray for these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved one. As we wonder, O Lord, could this be the year? We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the angels because it reminded me of Gershon Solomon of the Temple Mount Faithful, in that during a war with Syria back in the 50s, when he was injured but very alive, some Syrian soldiers were about to shoot him when all of a sudden they turned and ran away and Gershon was spared and went on to lead a very fruitful life, becoming the inspiration for the Temple Mount movement. Anyhow, these soldiers who ran away told the officers later that they couldn't shoot him, for they suddenly saw thousands of angels all around him. Later, Gershon said he heard an audible voice of God that said he was not finished with him yet.
So, yes, God does have his army,
as Chronicles often says in the Old Testament. All right, we are confident that our listeners have a good knowledge of what's going on, as Vox Cable News has been reporting on it nonstop.
And it's quickly moving along.
Boy, I'll say. What was surprising news is that we now know that publicly, the Sunni Gulf nations, although, again, publicly say no to Trump attacking Shiite Iran, are now saying that all along, they, especially Saudi Arabia and Qatar, wanted us to attack, but had to keep that private so Iran would think that Trump would instead listen to them, which I confess we were worried about not helping these people.
But now we see that actually, yes, Trump did listen to them.
Well, yeah, he did, along with Israel, of course, to go ahead. And in fact, pushed him hard. The question comes to mind, would Trump have done it if Qatar actually did say no?
Yeah, that's a good question. But anyhow, we're glad he did.
But another question is, does he want a total regime change? Who we hope would be the Crown Prince Pahlavi, who had been living in America since he and his father had to leave Iran in 1979. When the mullahs took over, Trump did say he would work with another Muslim if they would would kowtow basically to our demands. So that is troubling, and yet could be the way of fulfilling Ezekiel 38 during the tribulation when the restrainer departs.
Anyhow, we'll talk about that again when we see who it is.
Oh, for sure. Anyhow, the Sunni Gulf nations are fighting back against Iran's remaining regime, who, by the way, its new leaders were bombed this morning while having a meeting and all died. But still, other IRGCs are still hitting Israel, and the Gulf nations especially are military bases.
Well, and civilian areas too.
Yes, and they are very angry. And right now, almost the whole world is supporting President Trump.
Except the wokesters in America.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. Because even Turkey, Russia, and China are at least staying lukewarm and not saying too much.
Let's talk about how this war fits into Scripture.
Yes, and we do say this often, but there might be some new listeners because it's very important and a very big clue as to when Jesus will call us up.
Yes, it is.
So, honey, please read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3.
For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
President Trump has often and openly said his goal is to secure peace and safety, or security as the Greek word means either.
So we long to hear those words.
No, we do. Then after the rapture, because all true believers are gone, spiritual evil will quickly reemerge, with the Antichrist coming in on his white horse, vowing initially to keep the peace, while carrying a bow in which to conquer.
With the horses following a Revelation 6.
Iran will then become more evil than ever before, and will join the other players of Ezekiel 38, who, by the way, will have 3 years, if they need it, to set up their plan. This is plenty of time, utilizing a plethora of demonic influence, and also by then being saturated with great pride to attack Israel, who by this time will be without allies, because the United States' power will have ended prior to Ezekiel 38, as Jeremiah 30 verse 11 implies. But for us, right now, the important part, as 1 Thessalonians 5 says, there has to be at least the open declaration of world peace first, which is why God wanted this war to happen, to stop Iran's aggression. And by the way, Russia will stop its war too.
If we leave this year, it has to.
Exactly. And another clue to our departure. So again, when we hear President Trump or others declare this phrase in the present tense, we will be leaving shortly after that, as the labor pains will soon begin, which is the well-known idiomatic phrase meaning the tribulation. Because what follows labor pains?
A birth.
Yes. During the tribulation, the new spiritual birth will happen to all the Jews.
Which is why it's also called Jacob's labor pains.
Yes, and they will have many pains as the birth time approaches. When peace is taken from the earth and the four horses of Revelation arrive on the scene.
Okay, we welcome all of your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006 or regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Any love offering is always appreciated, which will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where our past radio and newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure.
Okay, before we continue in part two of our betrothal two-week series, since today was the last day of Purim and also Blood Moon this morning, which, by the way, Joel 3 says there would be prior to the tribulation, we suggested for you to read the story of Esther on your own and find for yourselves what each character is a type of. So let us just say quickly what they are to see if you got them right.
First, we have King Ahasuerus,
who is a picture of our God, our king.
His wife, Vashti,
represents the unbelievers, who was called to appear before her husband, the king, but She refused, therefore lost her place.
Well, in fact, he divorced her.
Yes, and we can refer that to God divorcing Israel in Jeremiah 3. Anyhow, a search was made for a more willing queen.
Named Esther, who is a type of the believers.
Yes. And we have Mordecai, an older cousin, who was Esther's legal guardian, who advises her.
Hey, you know, he's a picture of the Messiah.
And then there's Haman, the adversary, a type of Satan, who has always been trying to eliminate the Jews. Oh, and let's not forget about Haggai.
A picture of the Holy Spirit who prepares Esther for her wedding.
And there is a lot more gold nuggets as an equal distant lettering that we put in our last week's newsletter on shofarministries.net, or it's in your mailbox. But now we have to finish the typology of the Jewish betrothment that we began last week, where we saw that there are actually three ways to betroth a Jewish maiden. Either arranged by the father, some even from birth, or an agent, or the groom himself. And we saw how all three pertain to us, as in the entire Trinity played its part in our saying yes to his proposal.
And we also gave biblical examples for two of them.
Yes. The Father from the beginning of time chose the church to marry his son. And the Holy Spirit woos us as the agent. And we read how he was used with Isaac and Rebecca in Genesis 24. And it's important to remember it was always her choice, which truly pertains to his bride today.
And if you missed last week's program, it's up on shofarministries.net.
Mm-hmm. Tonight we will look at the typology now of a Jewish man personally choosing a bride for himself.
So, a maiden who might spark his eye.
Yes. Anyhow, he would go to her home and talk with her father and brothers and talk of the dowry price and the betrothal contract.
Yeah, there was a contract called a ketubah,
which outlined his promises as well as her responsibilities.
That pictures how Jesus came to our home, the earth.
And wine was poured from the wineskin into the cup. Jesus discussed the dowry price at the Last Supper Seder meal on Passover after sundown. And they all drank the wine in agreement.
And by the way, it would remain Passover till sundown the next day.
Which means he fulfilled Passover because he died at 3 o'clock or twixt the evening, which is between noon and sundown.
We'll cover that again in April.
We will. This wine drinking phase of the Jewish betrothal is called the Eruseen, when the maiden would drink from the cup if she accepted the contract, called the Ketubah.
A picture of our Bible.
I think it is, and I have to say, I am constantly in awe of how God put all of this together for our learning, so to strengthen our faith, that there really is a God.
For who else could arrange such detail?
And knowing our roots magnifies it all for us. And just as in the Last Supper Seder meal when the disciples drank from the cup of acceptance, we too confirm our contract when we take communion and drink of the wine. Then the groom would pay the bride price called the mohar with the promise to return to her. The virgin maiden was then set apart to wait for the groom's return.
Like we as well are set apart for Yeshua to return.
And he did pay the bride price with his blood on the cross for us.
We only have to accept the receipt.
That we do.
So this betrothal was legally binding.
Yes, in fact, they would need a writ of divorce called a get to annul it. And although legally bound, they could not cohabit together till after he would return for her. In fact, the groom's last statement before leaving their house would be, "I now go to my father's house to prepare a place for you."
just like Jesus said in John 14:2.
Exactly. It was standard wedding terminology. So let's look at the Greek word for a place, number 5117, topos, which means a room, but in the Hebrew, the word is hadar, which means a private chamber.
As in a private place for the honeymoon.
In Isaiah 26, and by the way, this is the Old Testament, it refers to the righteous being hidden while the wrath of God is on the earth.
The rapture is not a New Testament idea.
For sure. And I encourage you to do a deep dive into Isaiah 26 as it begins with the opening of the gates for the righteous. That's our resurrection. But then Isaiah in verse 14 speaks of how the unrighteous dead will not be part of the first resurrection.
Yeah, their rising comes much later.
Yes, at the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial kingdom, just before eternity. And here's what really should speak to all of us. As we soon will enter into his chamber or hadar. Let's read that in verse 20 of Isaiah 26.
Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until the indignation has passed.
That says it all. And the ESV says till his fury is past. We know this to be the tribulation as the same word is used in Daniel 8, verse 19, number 2195, Zayam. And then we see, still in verse in Isaiah 26, verse 21, when at the end of the indignation, Jesus comes out of his place and returns to earth, which is his second coming, to finish punishing the evil inhabitants.
Yeah, as we read in Revelation 19.
So, anyhow, back to her accepting by drinking the wine. After the groom goes to prepare the place for his bride, she would get busy making herself beautiful. We see how in the Persian dynasty, Esther prepared herself with oils and perfume for a year to stand in front of the king in chapter 2.
Also, after any maiden's betrothment, when leaving her house, she would wear a veil.
She would, to show that she was spoken for and bought with a price and consecrated to her groom. Spiritually, we also need to prepare, becoming more beautiful and more bright white as we study our Bible, which compares to oil and sweet fragrances like perfume. And our ketubah with Yeshua says to remain pure to him only.
Having no other gods before him.
By the way, other gods can mean a variety of diversions more important than spending time with him, like the cares of this life in Luke 21.
Redeem your time wisely, Paul said.
And remember the rabbi's claim
that studying God's word is the highest form of worship.
Okay, now the groom wanted the hadar to be very pleasant, for they would live in there for 7 days, which was the required time for all honeymoons.
And considered unlawful, if any less.
Of course, this is a picture of our honeymoon with Christ, which has to be for a period of 7.
In our case, 7 years.
Because 7 represents the number for completion. And not so coincidentally, is at the same time as the tribulation is happening on earth.
Jesus will remove us just prior to.
And we have a biblical example in Genesis 29 of the necessity of the week-long honeymoon of Jacob and Leah, who he was tricked into thinking she was Rachel. Now don't forget, the veil doesn't come off till after the consummation. So, upon his realization, Jacob stormed out of the hadar to her father, Laban, who said, I can't give you my secondborn before my firstborn daughter, but you can have Rachel too, after you serve me 7 more years. But first, you must finish and fulfill Leah's week of her honeymoon. And so he did.
Things were sure different in those days.
Yes. But arranged by God for a reason, so we would know our honeymoon with Christ must also be for a period of 7. And I emphasize that fact due to those who say the rapture doesn't occur till the middle of the tribulation. Obviously, they don't understand the customs and culture, which I'll say it again, God purposely arranged everything in precise detail so we could learn how it would be with us. It's a simple fact that knowing our roots is a must if you want to go deeper, and especially if you want real eschatological knowledge.
Being ignorant of our roots brings error.
It really can. Let me also emphasize we're not talking legalism here, but rather to recognize how much he freed us from any legalism. Instead, to appreciate and to learn how Jesus fulfills every detail necessary with his first coming, and then we can more easily understand how he will fulfill the other details at his second coming.
But first, the great escape, Luke 21.
Amen. It's called that great escape. It would also be customary to surprise the bride as to the groom's arrival, to sweep her away to his father's house for the wedding and the honeymoon.
So she didn't know the exact day or hour.
She did not. However, the groom's friends could tell when at least it was getting close by watching for the signs of the Hadar completion. Like, was the roof on, the windows in, even the curtains? So the groom's friends did have a better idea and could give her hope as to how close. The question is, are you also a friend of God? You know, Abraham was a friend to God, Isaiah 41:8. The Hebrew word number 157 actually means to have affection for.
Yeah, you know, Moses was a friend to God, Exodus 33:11.
John 15:13-14 says, yes, you too can be a friend, not only the bride, but a friend, if we are willing to lay down our life to take up our cross and follow him. Then we also will have a better insight as to his return. I have talked to many Christians who still say, sister, no one knows the day or the hour, which is the standard answer for Christians who really don't do their homework. And of course, not the exact day or hour, because Rosh Hashanah is 2 days long, which is in the fall, by the way, when James 5 says it will happen. But we look for other clues as well. As we said tonight, when they say peace and safety, we are out of here. As well, Daniel 12:4 says our knowledge will increase, and I believe that verse applies to our spiritual knowledge as well, which is why the Holy Spirit in 1947 guided that goat into the cave so that little Bedouin boy could find the Dead Sea Scrolls hidden there since around 73 AD, when the Romans were on their way to the very dry Judean desert to take out the Jews hiding on the top of Mount Masada. But the Romans were surprised when most of all of them committed suicide rather than be beaten and raped. Then the Romans went further south to Qumran for the Essenes, but they hid their extensive writings in the caves and fled the area. John the Baptist was thought to be an Essene, for they were the remnant who studied hard the prophets and were the true followers of God, knowing all about the two arrivals of the Messiah. Remember, John the Baptist questioned if Jesus was also the one to be king, or should there be another? And we'll look at more of this next week, and also Jeremiah 49. I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button. button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address: Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address: Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.